Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We started off the year, the week, shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew as we talk about how to handle that family interference from your spouse's family. Oh, the Due Time crew did a fantastic job yesterday as we talk about the fact that you should set rules and boundaries. Absolutely. If people think that they can just do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, how in the world are you going to have a decent relationship? But here's the one that I really like. Work as a team. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen, you have got to partner up when you want to combat all of the problems and interference of your spouse's family. Now, how in the world you're supposed to have a relationship if everybody's interfering all the time? So you got to partner up. Come on, because he or she know their family is interfering. That ain't nothing new, okay? So partner up, stand as one, because remember, you're supposed to be leaving and cleaving anyway. So you stand as one, and you let them know that we're not going to have this. Ah, that's how you get the job done. But remember that when you are speaking and dealing with your spouse's family, that you need to also be respectful and be wise in your response. You know, as our panel said yesterday, you know, a lot of times they end up making you so angry that before you know it, you busting all off, and because they didn't got you there, and you're responding at the time that they are annoying you. You know, you have to go away, regroup, and get yourself together. You know, and you know, the other one is, you know, go and communicate with them. You know, sit down and have a nice conversation. Invite them out to dinner. Yeah, or if they're elderly people, you know, or older people, I should say, or seasoned. You know, they're seasoned. That's what they like to call them these days. Invite them out to breakfast because they're up early, especially if they listen to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. They're up already. So get them out to some breakfast time. And, you know, have a nice conversation with them, okay? All righty. Well, we had our first switch tip of the year. and it is number 86. Get rid of those titles. Oh, wow. What? No, now that one is on point. Everybody and their mama have to have a title in front of their name. As they say, in front of your name. Yeah, what is up with that? If they don't have a title, if they're not considered somebody big, then they're not happy. Yeah, and that is just so unlike you. You know, listen, at the end of the day, God knows who he's called. He knows who he calls you. And you are going to be you, or you should be you, regardless of the title. So in other words, if he if he has called you to ministry and you are ministering and you are preaching to God's people, you already know you're a minister. In due season, he will put that ministerial title right where it needs to be and when it needs to be. You don't have to be running to get no minister's title, and especially if you're not fitting the bill. You know, you got all of these titles out here, you know, where people want to be considered important. And a title really doesn't make you important. No, in my opinion, a title just puts more pressure on you. So why have the pressure if you don't need to? Because in my opinion, it's just Stephanie, you know, it's not a lot of pressure to complete God's task. I don't think so. I wouldn't use the word pressure. But when you put that title before your name, before the time, then it's pressure. Yeah, yeah, then it's pressure. But my opinion is when God calls you to a certain position, it may not be simple, but there will be a level of ease, especially if you put your faith and trust in God. Yeah, yeah, there's a difference. You know, you put a lot of added pressure on yourself when you're stepping into these zones and entitling yourself. And, you know, that's something that, in my opinion, you don't want. Did you see when Obama into the presidency, he was looking all spry and he had a step about him and the hair was, you know, nice and dark colored. Did you see when he was half the term? Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm not saying he wasn't called to the presidency, but I'm just going to show you how having a title and a real position can change even the way you look. Yeah. I looked at a picture of him and Mrs. Obama the other day, and I recognized her, but I didn't recognize him. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's President Obama. Whoa, yeah. If you don't want to end up looking all old and beat up, and I'm not saying that about him, I'm just saying, if you don't want to look old and beat up and beat down and everybody's looking to you to be something that you're not, and now you've got to go do a whole bunch of stuff to fit the bill that you weren't called to fit, then don't bother. Drop those titles. Let go of those titles. Get rid of those titles. Our first switch tip of the year with Shanti. Switch tip with Shanti. And she came through big time. Okay? So, that's how we spent our Monday morning, our first Monday of the year of 2020. 2022. And we had a good time yesterday. We laughed, and we laughed about the news and all kinds of stuff. So listen, go back. Get your laugh on from Monday. Yes. So today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folks Day Off. And do I have some stuff to talk about? Oh, my goodness. Hey, I just came across a list. I had my list from last night, but this morning I got up and I came across a vital list. The first thing, I tell you, always look at least the first thing. Get those pens out because you're going to need it. Yeah. I'm already shivering in my boots because the first thing I saw on the list, I'm already guilty of. So, you know, yeah. And I don't even know. I'll probably have to empty out the rest of my house. But come on. Get those pens out. Go get that healthy breakfast. Go and tell a friend. Text a friend. Yell out the window. Eddie Murphy didn't even come into America. Yell out the window. Good morning, America. It's due time when Pastor Steph is on. Yes. Make sure you let everybody know that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And it's Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. Okay? And make sure you hold on to your seat and don't you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
We all have a role in keeping our food safe. Farmers should follow good agricultural practices to assure that the food they produce is the healthiest it can be. Markets and restaurants are required by law to follow safe food handling procedures when selling raw or cooked foods to their customers. And each one of us should always practice proper food handling, cooking, and storage at home. Make sure that you're doing your part to keep food safe for all of us. A message from the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
Good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. How are you? We're in our second day of the full week of the first week of the year. Yeah. So, like I said, make sure you get those pens out because we got some stuff to talk about. Okay. All righty. Come on. Let's get this party started. All right. Okie dokie. Now, this is a list. This I'm getting ready to give you. This list, it says, these things may be dangerous to use after expiration. Now, I know that Shantice must be jumping up and down, cheering. Because I am a post-expiration date individual. Yeah. So come on. Let's go. Get some pens up. Because I told you, after seeing the very first thing, I started trembling in my boots. Okay. First thing. Hydrogen peroxide. Oh, my goodness. Now, we all probably have these things in our arsenal that's expired. They say hydrogen peroxide expires in 2 months. Yeah. They say an unopened bottle of hydrogen peroxide will last a year before it needs to be replaced, but an open bottle lasts only 2 months before it effectively turns to water. So they say it's best to, you know, make sure you watch that expiration date, because it's dangerous if you think that you're using it and it's good, because if it's outdated, you could run the risk of developing an infection. Yes. All righty. Okay. Sunscreen. They say sunscreen expires in 3 years. Okay. They say that according to the Mayo Clinic, sunscreen is good for about 3 years before it needs to be thrown away. Even if there's an expiration date on the bottle that says 2 years, it should be fine for another 12 months. But once that time has elapsed, it won't have the same protective quality. So you don't want to be putting anything on your body thinking that you're protected, and you're not. Okay? All righty. Laundry detergent. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen. Remember, I don't see the list. I don't see the list. I'm just in shock because I want y'all to get an authentic response from me. Laundry detergent basically expires in 6 months. Well, how many of us have laundry detergent for 6 months? We got to do laundry before then. But for those who buy those huge bottles, they do expire every 6 months. They say laundry detergent that's left lingering around for that long is virtually useless. Okay? And they say that they know that you're tempted to buy those huge, really huge bottles from like Costco and BJ's, but they say that in the long run, if you're not going to use it, that it's better just not to buy it if you're not going to use it like that, okay? So, okie dokie. What's next, y'all? What's next? Moisturizer. They say moisturizer basically expires every 2 years. Okay. They say the shelf life of moisturizers isn't indefinite. Okay. They say lotions in pump pots or tubes should be tossed out after 2 years. However, those in tubs and pots can be breeding grounds for bacteria. So always make sure you wash your hands before using these and replace every 3 to 6 months to be on the safe side. Okay. Ooh. Uh-oh. Kitchen sponge. Oh, my. Well, we've been hearing about this more and more lately. They say once a week, change your kitchen sponge once a week. They say it is ridden with bacteria. They say sponges are great for washing dishes, but they should be replaced far more often than generally we do. They say that German scientists suggested that we should be replacing our sponges at least once a week to stop the risk of spreading germs. Even cleaning and disinfecting them isn't a surefire way to get rid of all of the nastiness and the bacteria that is in the sponge. Ooh, wait a minute. running shoes. Every 6 months. I got to read this one. We got to figure out why they want us to change running shoes every 6 months. Well, listen, I advise you to go buy them cheapies. If we talk about every 6 months, woo, baby. You surely can't be putting no thousands or hundreds of dollars into no running shoes. They say for runners that hit the pavement frequently, sneakers should be replaced every 200 to 300 miles. Those that only use running shoes to work out in the gym or jog less frequently should look at buying a new pair every 6 months. It's all down to the cushioning wearing away, which puts extra pressure on your joints. Wow. So even if you're only using them for gym purposes, you should change them every 6 months. They say that running shoes are the perfect breeding ground for bacteria. They're warm, damp, and full of dead skin. And to keep lingering bugs away or potential skin infections away, replace them bad boys. Ooh, oh no. Okay. Ready? Car seats. Every 5 to 6 years. Now, this one is like questionable because from infancy to a certain age, there's one type of car seat. And then from that age to the next age, there's another type of like a pre-booster. And then after that, there's a booster. And after that, the kids are out of it by 8. So every 5 to 6 years, I don't know what they're talking about. But listen, we're being obedient, right, to the ones that know better, all right? Excuse me. They say that the varying temperatures in a car from freezing cold to boiling hot can affect the structure of the seats. It suggests that these should be changed every 5 to 6 years to ensure safety of these seats, that they become less safe. Okay? Wow. Are y'all ready for this? House paint. Whoa, house paint. Every 2 years, they say once rooms are painted, you know, we just kind of chill. Well, ain't that what we're supposed to be doing? Oh, my gosh. They say oil-based paint should only be kept for 2 years before they expire. They'll either be rock hard when you open it the next time or the quality of the paint will be separate and useless. They say if you're decorating a new room and plan on keeping it that color for the foreseeable future, it might be best to buy an extra unopened can as a safety net. So in other words, when you buy your paint, make sure you buy just enough or make sure you buy more than enough. Okay? Yeah. And throw it out. Yeah. Because if you run out of thing, you're going to have to buy more anyway. So when you buy more than enough, you just have to throw away the rest. All right? Or make sure you plan on using it for more than, let's say, more than one room. Okay? All right. I was going to say, I thought they meant, you know, for us to be painting every 2 years. Okay. So they're painting me. Fire extinguishers every 5 to 10 years. These fire extinguishers expire, and they say that the hoses of fire extinguishers can often crack and become problematic, which is why they should always be stored correctly. They say to be on the safe side, check the pressure gauge frequently, and you should never have to use it. If you never have to use it, make sure it's refilled straight away. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, well, that's what it says. Okay, I guess we'll figure it out. Well, replace it. They say make sure that after 5 years, you even some of the fire extinguishers have to, they can be taken to be checked. So even if you don't know what you're doing, you can, you know, look it up on the internet and see where you can take your fire extinguisher to see if it's still good. Okay? Now I heard about this one. Makeup. Makeup, ladies. Change that makeup. Every 6 months it expires. Yes. You know how we find that perfect lipstick? You know, I never really wore lipstick a lot, but when I did, one of the things that you could never find that perfect shade. And because I didn't really wear it very often, it was it always sat around for much longer than 6 months. They say many makeup items should be thrown out and replaced every 6 months, regardless of how much is left. Bacteria loves mascara wands. So make sure you get rid of that mascara. You don't want to be messing up your beautiful face. Okay? They say that lipsticks last slightly longer and they can be replaced after a year. But when the year has come for the lipstick, get rid of it. Okay? They say it can really do a lot of damage on your face. You know, these products that are expired. Gasoline. I guess this is for those who store gasoline, maybe for your lawn mowers and things like that. Every 6 months, okay, they say that for like lawn mowers, mountain bikes, they say please. Some specialists believe that gasoline inside of a car should be used up in 30 to 60 days or it will start to have an adverse effect on the engine. Wow. So for those who have those unparked, you know, car cars that you're really not using, wow. Okay. Well, I guess that's not a huge deal. All right. A bike helmet. Ah, change your bike helmet every 3 to 5 years. They say just like car seats, bike helmets can warp and become ineffective. And they say this is especially true depending on where you store the helmet. They say if the helmet has been involved in any sort of an accident or takes any knocks, it should be replaced immediately. The general consensus is that bike helmets that haven't had any bumps should be replaced 3 to 5 years to make sure that they're doing the job they need to do in case of an emergency. Okay? They say helmets that aren't in tip-top condition can split, shatter, or just not protect your skull in the way that they were originally designed to. Woo, baby. Uh-oh. Check this one out. Power strips. Every 7 years, you got to change these power strips. Now, how many of us got power strips in our house that's like older than our grandchildren? Oh, my goodness. They say power strips should be replaced at least every 7 years to avoid the risk of a potential fire hazard and stay up to date with compliances. They say if your power strip wiring looks loose or any of the plug sockets stop working, it should be thrown out and replaced right away. Okay? Because they're handling a lot of electricity. Okay? They say many homes make use of several power strips in different rooms. So be extra careful if you're using them to power appliances like washing machines or dryers. If something goes wrong, it could cause problems with the machine it's supplying to. Listen, a word of advice But things such as washing machines and dryers, get an electrician. I'm a homeowner, trust me. Get an electrician. Let them put you an outlet in the wall specifically for these appliances, playing around with this stuff. Don't think that you can put them into no extension cords. No, that is so dangerous. And also heaters. Heaters are designed to go right into the wall. Do not put heaters in. It is dangerous. Read your stuff. When you get it, read. Do not put those things into power strips or extension cords. They need to go straight into the wall, okay? And make sure that your the electricity in your home can handle all of these things that you're plugging up, because we don't want to hear of anything happening to you or your family members. Perfume and cologne every 2 years, they say. Most perfume and cologne should be replaced within 30 months of opening. They say that you need to store them in a cool, dry place and never put them in the refrigerator. Temperature fluctuations will only help the quality diminish further. And they say don't shake the bottle and avoid decanting into sprayers. Okay? They say decanting a perfume can adversely affect the quality of the product, causing it to lose its smell quicker than if it's left in the original bottle. And, by the way, they are talking about expensive perfumes and colognes as well, okay? You may not have to replace them as often, but still the same way they're telling you to keep them doesn't change. Hand sanitizer. Yes, I'm going into overtime with this because this is important here. This is really important. Hand sanitizer. Every 2 years, make sure you change that hand sanitizer. Okay? They say the alcohol in the sanitizer is what kills the germs, but it starts to dissolve as the years tick by. Okay? So you don't want to be using a hand sanitizer that's less effective than what you need. Okay? Loofahs. Every month, change those loofahs. Okay? They say experts recommend replacing those loofahs at least once a month, but every few weeks is preferable. Okay? They say leaving it any longer than that, you're essentially washing yourself with mold, and it has harmful spores and bacteria that can cause painful skin infections. Get rid of those loofahs. How much they cost? $2. Bar soap. Okay? Bar soap every 2 years. Okay? They say that bar soap can perish. Most brands of soap should be replaced every 2 years, but homemade natural soap should be ousted within a year of purchase, depending on the ingredients used. Okay? Soap can be used for, you know, here, listen, when you just start using your soap for all kinds of things. Just start washing stuff. You ain't got to throw it out. Just start washing stuff. Yeah, throw it out before it gets to the 2 years. Sunglasses. Whoa, every 2 years. They say sunglasses should be replaced every 2 years, regardless of how much you paid for them and how good of a condition you feel they're in, because they become less effective. Okay? Yeah. They say after a while, they're useless. Because of the UV rays. Wow. So, yeah, man, when y'all spend all that money for those glasses, Oh, my goodness gracious. Tea bags. They say tea bags. Get rid of them after a year. They say they start to lose its flavor. Although, you know, it may have a different expiration date on it. They say it does begin to deteriorate. So get rid of it. Okay? All righty. Motor oil. 5 years. Okay? They say motor oil actually gets worse over time. All right? So, get rid of it. Toothpaste. 1 year. The active ingredients in toothpaste won't last and they are no longer useful. So you're brushing your teeth with like nothing. Okay? Dishwasher detergent. Same thing. They say the enzymes in the detergent start to break down and they will not do its proper job. So you don't want to be using stuff that's not really cleaning your dishes, right? Nope. All right. Ice packs every 16 months. Okay. They say that plastic coating that's on the outside of that ice pack, it wears down. Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. I'm going to hold on to the rest of this until tomorrow. We will continue as we go throughout the week. All right? All right, all right, all right. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Yo, these people are losing their mind. They have a Long Island teacher. Now, here's the thing. We are fined for illegally vaccinating a teen. Now, I don't have to tell you that if it was one of us on this side of the fence, they'd be digging up a fresh ditch to throw us in. So here's how the story goes. This Long Island teacher, who's 54, she has a son who brought his friend over on New Year's Eve. And the friend is 17 years old, so the son is probably around the same age. And he was, somehow or another, she told the son that she had a vial of approved COVID-19 vaccine. Well, somehow or another, he shared it with his friend, this information, and the friend came over asking for her to administer it to him because his mother would not approve of him getting the vaccine, and he wanted it. So they say that there's a video. Oh, are you kidding me? Why are you taping this stuff? They say there's a video of her giving him the vaccine, and she says, there you go, at-home vaccine, and she wipes his arm. Well, he goes home, and I guess he went home bragging to his mama that he got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and, you know, Johnson & Johnson is only a single dose, and this particular Johnson & Johnson vaccine has not been approved for Americans under the age of 18. Now, here's the thing. Not only are you administering a vaccine to a young person, but Johnson & Johnson? Man, you couldn't get me to buy nothing by Johnson & Johnson these days after they've been found guilty of all the stuff that they've been splattered all over the news for. Well, she was charged with unauthorized practice after the mama ratted her out for, you know, injecting her son with this vaccine. And she was charged with unauthorized practice of a profession under New York State education law and released on a desk appearance ticket. Now, y'all know that wouldn't have been one of us. Y'all know that wouldn't have been one of us. And she didn't even administer it on the grounds of the school, but they're still, because she's a teacher, they're still charging her with this unauthorized practice blah, blah, blah. But, man, y'all know she got off easy. Y'all know she got off easy. And she probably won't get no time. She probably won't get no time. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, I wanted to share this one with you. So they found this baby abandoned in Alaska. I don't know how many of you know, because like I said, I don't look at the news, so I really don't know how much of this stuff is actually on the news. But this baby was found abandoned in Alaska with a note, and I want to read this note. And when you look at the note, it looks like it's written in, like, a little kid's handwriting. It says, "Please help me. I was born today on December 31st, 2021, 6 a.m. I was born 12 weeks premature. My mom was 28 weeks when she had me. My parents and grandparents don't have food or money to raise me. They never, in all caps, wanted to do this to me. My parents lived on Cormorant Street. My mom is so sad to do this. Please take me and find me a loving family," all caps. "My parents are begging whoever finds me. My name is Tashawn." That was the note that was written and left right along with the baby. A woman found the baby in a cardboard box next to a row of mailboxes by her home. And she, you know, she took the baby to the authorities, and yet Alaska is also a place where they have this, you know, safe haven law where you can drop any unwanted child at a hospital or church or, you know, police or fire station. And they're like, why didn't you just do that? Well, that's very common. You know, we're not finding a whole bunch of children dropped, you know, at these locations, despite the fact that, you know, they say that, you know, it's a safe, you know, safe spot. People just aren't doing it. I guess they don't want to show their face. But this is a very heartbreaking note. And like I said, it looks like it could have been written by a child. And I don't know, maybe they had the child write it. I don't know. Or maybe it was a young person. But we're going to lift this little Tashawn up in our prayers, poor little thing. You know, they say that it was like freezing. They said it was single digits when little Tashawn was left in the cardboard box. So we give God thanks that, you know, he was found without, you know, being really hurt. Okay. One more before we get to our main topic. I want to talk about this one here because this one was kind of interesting. Okay, so they have this man in Minnesota who is now, who has been sentenced to 1 year in prison and like 10 years of probation for attacking a man in Home Depot with a piece of lumber after the worker would not check him out without his mask. He asked the man to put the mask on before he would ring him up, and the man just started pouncing on him with this piece of lumber. When the cops chased him and stopped him, the officer was speaking to him, put his head in the window. I don't mean to laugh, but put his head in the window. And this 61-year-old gentleman closed the window on the cop's arm, trapping him and hitting the cop in the head with a hammer. Okay? And the man's wife says that, you know, he's been suffering from depression, anxiety, and PTSD from his time in the military. Now, my question to all of you, 347-285-7777. Now, although, you know, he's suffering from the PTSD and the depression and anxiety and, you know, all of the stuff that's going on with him, is 1 year in jail and 10 years of probation enough? Should he have to be in some type of mental institution or something? Because this is some serious stuff here. You know, you beat somebody with a piece of lumber that could have killed him. A blow to that man's head could have killed him. And definitely hitting someone in the head with a hammer. All right? So let's talk about this thing here. Let's talk about this. Come on, 347-285-7777. All right? Hey, right on time. Okay. Where's my due time crew? Let's say good morning to Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Thanks. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for joining us today. All right. So you heard some of the items that we should not use after its expiration. Is there something on that list that you had no idea would be on that list?
The one that strikes me the most and concerns me the most is the gasoline in the car. Well, gasoline, period. Because, one, I do store gasoline for my lawnmower. And also,
okay,
we have one vehicle that we don't drive that often. And, yes, it can sit, unfortunately, you know, more than a month or so, maybe before we even think to drive it. Meaning the gasoline is in there for a while. So that was a big concern. Some of the other things kind of heard of, kind of aware of, but that whole gasoline thing really, I don't know, it just surprised me. So that means that some chemical process breaks down, and that's troubling, especially since gas is so
Yeah. Yep, absolutely, Pastor Ed, absolutely. All right. So they say, the gasoline in your car should be used 30 to 60 days. So you ain't got no time to be letting that car sit around for no 30, so no 3-4 months.
Okay.
You got to use that stuff up.
Okay.
Yeah,
because even driving it every...
Right. Are you talking, Pastor Ed?
No, I was just saying, even driving it every 4 to 6 weeks may not use up all that gasoline.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know, if you're saying 30 to 60 days, you're going to have to use that gas up. And here's the thing. We all know now for those of us who live in a colder climate, and, you know, you can't leave a small amount of gas in your car, because if that freezes, you're not going to be able to start your car anyway.
That's right.
We got to find a way to make sure we get this stuff done. All right, Pastor Ed. The Long Island teacher reassigned for illegally vaccinating a teen. What's your thought?
Now, that is just absolutely ridiculously, to me, criminal. I mean, come on. I'm sorry. You know, when you're talking about someone's child, someone that's underage, someone that is not capable and sometimes mature enough to make a decision about something like this, you are completely out of line. That should be a parental decision with their child. In what world do you think it's right? And we're talking about, we know how controversial the vaccine is
as it is anyway.
Right, to begin with.
You don't even
That's
know
right.
if that
That's
child
right.
has some condition that would give them an allergic reaction or a religious
yeah.
restriction. I mean, that was out of line completely.
But my question is, this reassigning, where would we have ever been reassigned? We would be reassigned, okay, from our house to the jail.
To
jail.
The prison.
Yeah. That's right.
No, but that's what I'm
that's
saying.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it just reflects to you. And I don't even remember what the nationality or the ethnicity of the teacher was. But
do you have to guess? Do you have to guess? Do you have to guess?
Exactly. Come on now. Come on. That's why it's so ridiculous. In what world is that even acceptable? Please. They've arrested mothers for using the wrong address so their kids can go to a better school.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, I'm so glad that. All right. So we got this poor little baby in Alaska on New Year's Eve found with the note that was written by supposedly the mom. What do you think?
Okay. Let me say this. If you know that you're incapable of properly caring for your child, I understand wanting to get them in a better situation. But I never understand, and I guess it's out of fear, but, you know, this thing of just leaving the child, you hope somebody finds it. You hope they find them in time. Come on, just use the systems that are in place. Use a pastor, use a family member, but do it in a manner that ensures that the child will make a safe transition from you to someone else that is going to take proper care of it. So, you know, I feel for this child. And can you imagine it? I guess you can spin it and say your mother loved you enough to give you up, but for them to know that they were abandoned that way, left with a note, that seems like something you hear in these movies and these stories where the child grows up to be sinister and unstable because they felt rejected. And
I just think
there's a better way to do it. You know, you were grown enough to have the child. Be grown enough or responsible enough to say, listen, I can't take care of them, and do it in the right way to ensure that child's safety and protection.
Absolutely. They say temperatures at the time were in the single digits with a wind chill of 12 below.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
so
ridiculous.
You definitely
to
could
me,
have.
To neglect,
mm-hmm.
endangerment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Even in a panic mode, you know, there's a little different way of thinking and maneuvering. Well, here's one for you, Pastor Ed. With this man who was sentenced to a year in prison and 10 years of probation, he's 61. You're going to put him on 10 years of probation if he even lives to be 71 years old or whatever. But, you know, who attacked the man, he didn't want to put a mask on, so he attacks the worker in, let's say, a Home Depot, and he attacks the cop with a hammer to his head. And the wife is saying that, you know, he's suffering from depression and anxiety and PTSD from his time in the military. You know, what do you feel should be the punishment for this particular gentleman?
Okay. First of all, I never believe in making excuses for someone doing wrong, but many times there are explanations in some instances. In this case,
mm-hmm.
obviously, because of my role in the military, my role with veterans and veterans benefits, I do know that these mental health issues that develop from service in the military, they are real. They are deeply rooted in some of it is from traumatic brain injury. Some of it is from just trauma in general. And so I know it's real. Now this is what I say. Family members, friends, church members, individuals that are in the inner circle of this person's life, unfortunately, there is a responsibility that you bear when you observe certain behaviors. And let me tell you, PTSD and many of these mental health conditions, there are signs, clear signs, especially if you're around the person enough. And so to answer your question, he needs treatment. Because let me explain something. Simply incarcerating him without properly addressing and providing therapy, whether it be psychotherapy or psychotropic drugs or whatever the case may be, and getting to the root of his problem, is going to do him absolutely no good. And the point of the matter is, if he is one of those individuals that truly has PTSD, I'm sorry, he acquired it in the service of this country, and it means that they need to rethink the processes and those systems that are in place when individuals sign up to make the sacrifice of putting their life on the line to serve and protect this country and everyone who enjoys its benefits. So, yes, now you have a responsibility to this individual, and throwing him in a cage, locking him up. First of all, we know most of our prison systems fail greatly as being rehabilitative institutions, which is what we were told they were initially put in place for. So he needs the care. He needs the care. And then you can determine based upon that treatment if the punishment fits the crime as far as punitive, which is what our jail systems are. But he needs the treatment. He needs the care. Because guess what? He's going to continue to be a danger to himself and others if he doesn't get it, even when you have him locked up.
Right. And that's my thought. I'm like, 10 years of probation, if you don't get him any help and all you do is lock him up for a year, when he comes back, he's still going to be suffering from depression. He's still going to be suffering from anxiety. He's still going to be suffering from PTSD. So a year in jail ain't going to do much. But help to exacerbate the problem.
Well, here's where I have a problem, Pastor Steph. We have an intricate system of veteran treatment courts throughout the nation where felony, misdemeanor, whatever the case is, if it's found that a veteran, an individual is a veteran, they can appeal to be administered or admitted to the Veterans Treatment Court system. And that is a program where we, because I go to the court three times a month in our area, and that's where we put them in a multi-phase process for treatment, for care, financial.
Wow,
whatever to address. So that's what I'm saying. There are processes out there and available. So just giving him that 10 years of probation, that's not solving the problem. Our goal with the Veterans Treatment Court, which actually was started in Buffalo, New York, by the way, by a black judge, but I'm just saying.
Wow,
is to address the root of the problem. When you get to the root of the problem, then you can address it holistically.
Right, absolutely. I actually like that idea of something like that specifically for the veterans. I think they need to be treated in their own environment with people who understand them. And
you
putting them in an environment with just regular everyday people, regular everyday criminals, is unfair to them. I think they deserve more than that. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for helping us understand all of that. And again, thank you for joining us today. Let's talk to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks. I'm well. How are you today?
I'm well. Welcome back, Pastor Ed.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. So we got this list of things that we need to make sure we don't use past the expiration time. What's the top on your list from this list?
Mine was sneakers. Well, they call running shoes. Because most of us have a few of them, because you know with this color you wear that one, with that color you wear that one. And for 6 months to take all of them and get rid of them, that broke my heart.
I'm sure it broke a whole lot of hearts, because for those of us who don't really wear sneakers, you know, now you definitely got sneakers sitting out there for more than 6 months. So whether you're rotating, like you say, or whether you're just, you know, a one sneaker person, because you normally wear shoes and boots or sandals, you're jacked up because you're throwing away your money out the window. It hasn't even gotten anywhere.
And I had a question with that one too. Was they? I ain't running nowhere. I'm walking. So does that count for a couple of months? Did that count for a couple of months extra?
And I was just going to say, maybe you can hold on to yours for an extra few months, because you're not, because you're not running in them. Oh, my goodness. All right, Pastor Charlene, we're talking about the teacher administering the vaccine to the 17-year-old. What say you?
Well, when you were saying it, I said, I know it wasn't us, because the whole bunch of stuff would have been happening. And how dare you as a teacher? It made me think of if you went behind the parents' back to do this, and now you have these children sitting in the classroom, what else are you doing? It made me think of that, because you are not being responsible. And as a parent yourself, would you want someone to do that to your child?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it opened up a bunch of thoughts as a parent, as a person that, you know, the children are looking up to. So I know that she ain't, not only she ain't know no better. So for her own child, but how dare you interfere with somebody else's? Mm-hmm. If they parents say no, then your job is to say no. That's why you got to be careful of who house your kids go to.
Yep, absolutely. You know, it made me think about the parent a couple of weeks ago. When her son pled guilty to raping the four girls, and they say that while they were partying, the mother was responsible for administering the alcohol and the drugs. And I'm saying to myself, here it is, another home your child is entering where it's the parent you got to be afraid of. It's like, yo, our concerns as parents are shifting so rapidly where, you know, we used to say, don't go in nobody's house if their parent wasn't there. Remember that rule, Pastor Charlene?
Yes.
Remember that rule, Pastor Ed? You better not step foot in that child's house if the parent wasn't there. Now, you gotta worry about if the parent is there, what's happening. And you know what? I agree with you 100%. If you were so bold as to vaccinate a child, what else you been sliding by? What else have you been doing? You're absolutely right. Pastor Charlene. It really makes you wonder, what other rule are you, you know, going past for your own personal, you know, satisfaction? What about the little baby found in the cardboard box? Mom drops him off with this heartfelt note. You know, what do you think? What comes to your mind?
Well, at first my mind went to that she was young, and for her to be able just to drop her child off, some mental issues going on with the note. The note was kind of, you know, did you make me say that? You know, did you make me write that about the grandparents and all of that? And I agree. There are so many places warm places that you could have dropped the baby off instead of the baby being out, you said 12 below zero at that?
Yeah, yeah, wind chill factor 12 below.
Yeah, she could have, you know, they could have dropped them, and it might not even been the parents. It could have been the grandparents. We don't, you know, we don't know the whole thing, but as a whole, you didn't, I'm sure the baby wasn't wrapped up completely right, you know, for you to leave that baby outside so negligent on that behalf as well. But there's so many places that you could drop the baby off if you didn't want it. You could have left them in the hospital. You could have left the baby in the house. You didn't even have to take the baby out, you know, whatever, anywhere. Because nowadays, there's so many places that they're finding children.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I understand you know
absolutely.
The question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Pastor mm-hmm. Charlotte. Absolutely. All right, lastly, you know, we always have a heart for the veterans, you know, because we see them homeless and, you know, we know that this country really, you know, they've never taken care, you know, of these service men and women, you know, after they come home from the war and things like that. What do you think about this particular case of, you know, being sentenced, you know, to a year in prison and then 10 years of probation?
No, I thought of that he, and I thank you, Pastor Ed, because my one of my question was, don't the vets have a place that, you know, that deal just with them? Because by my husband being a vet, I've been to the VA with him and to see, but just for a year, no, he needed more attention. I thought of that. If the wife knew that he had this problem, one, did he take his meds for that day? Two, you know, she just didn't leave him home, because being around them, you should know their triggers. I call them triggers, of knowing that, you know, when they're about to have an episode or whatever, and to get them out, you know, and isolate them from everybody so he could not hurt somebody. And for her just to stay it just like that, was there other incidents? So I think that they should have, you know, take him. A year is not enough. First of all, he shouldn't even go there. He should go to a mental place wherever they go to and being able to be treated and where he's able to talk out or whatever they do. That was my thought of that. But I thank you for,
okay.
You know, now we have a little more information
right.
from Pastor Ed about the places, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Charlene. I agree with you. You know, it's got to have, you know, you got to be able to treat him in a different manner than the average Joe. So hopefully, you know, somebody will reconsider and place him where he should be. Thank you so much for joining us today. So happy that you're with us. And we're going to take this opportunity to speak to Pastor K.L. Good morning, Pastor K.L.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
That's good. All righty, Pastor KL. We had a list of things that we need to stop using past the expiration date. Did you hear something on that list that applies to you?
Well, I didn't hear the list, but I automatically, when you and Pastor Ed was talking about the gas, that's me. Because when the gas go on sale, I buy it like it's chicken wings, you know, and I just store it up. You know, so I got gas for days. I could give some people gas right now.
Wow. Yeah, well, they're saying that after 30 to 60 days, the gas component is breaking down. It's not as effective. It's no longer as good as when you first bought it. So you might want to do a little research and rethink. You know, I know, you know, stocking up on the gas when it's cheaper is the way to go. But it's not like, you know, some other things that you can actually, like canned goods, you could store up, for 2 years.
You know what, Pastor Steph? I'm not driving that far. I'll take a trip. I'm not driving that far. I'll take a chance.
Let's just say I'm glad you're in Alabama. And you won't be driving to my house. Your car won't be parked outside of my door. I can't with
you. Need a ride? You need a ride?
Oh, yeah. Remind me never to get in your car. I can't. You know what? I can't. Oh, my gosh. I so can't with you. Let's talk about this teacher administering the vaccine to her son's friend without authorization. First of all, you're not authorized. You ain't no place that has been, you ain't even no hospital or, pharmacy. What are you doing?
You know what? It's so funny because, I mean, at my workplace, I can't give somebody an aspirin. And they grown.
That's right.
And I can't give you an aspirin.
That's right. That's
you know what I mean?
That's
so
right.
So
that's right.
I don't know how you think it was okay to administer a vaccine. First of all, you administered it because you knew that his mama didn't want him to have it. So you already went against the rules. You know,
right.
So you're a parent going against another parent, taking the mindset of a child. So right there, you've already crossed the line. I mean, I remember those days. Don't go to nobody's house if their parents are not there. Now you can't go to their house even if the parents is there. Don't go to nobody's house, period.
That's right.
You know, because of
Dr. Vaccine,
where
we are.
They pierce in the little girl's ears. You know, I mean, you don't know the structure of that house in order for you to be making those kind of decisions.
Right. I tell you, it is so scary now that nothing is safe. Nothing is safe. You know, No. And that's what made it come to my mind when I was talking to Pastor Charlene about, they always figure, you call someone's parent, you talk. Yeah, now you really got to get to know your child's friend's parents. My girls were always averse to that.
I remember the days when before you could spend a night, the parent used to say, call your mama, see if it's all right if
that's
you can
right.
eat there. See if it's all right if you can
that's
spend a
right.
night. See if it's all
that's
right,
right,
if, right. You, if you can go with us
that's
to the park.
Right.
Before they even did anything with a child, you had to call your mama. And I need to speak to your mama. Now, I don't just want to hear you saying mama said it's okay. I need to talk to mama.
Right. And that's the way I raised my girls. I need to talk to, this woman. I need to know where you going. I need to know that, she's on my page. Not only that, but I need her to know that when you come here, when her child comes here, what the rules are here. And that was just the relationship you had. Now, clearly, you were severely disrespectful if you did have this quote-unquote relationship with the parent or you didn't have the relationship with the parent at all. Because that's some kind of deed to do, Pastor KL, to inject vaccine into somebody's kid? That's crazy.
And you're a teacher. You're not even a doctor. You're a teacher.
Right. Oh, I can't. All righty. Let's talk about this poor little baby that was found in a cardboard box. This heartfelt note was left with the child. What comes to your mind when you hear this story?
I'm like the other pastor. There were so many other decisions that you could have made prior to this. You know, if you knew that the grandparents or if the grandparents knew that they wouldn't be able to take care of a child, you could have had an adoption. You could have started up an adoption program so that when the baby came out, you already know that the baby was going to a good home. I mean, you took a chance in hoping that someone would find this baby. But you didn't really care. Though the letter was heartfelt, you really, really didn't care because look at the situation you put the child in. No one severely cares if you're going to put your child out in the cold in a box and hope for the best, who does that? You could have put your child in a program saying, listen, I'm too young. My parents is not able to take care of this child. What can we do? There's enough help to be able to talk you through this and make proper decisions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you actually wrote the note.
Right.
And to me, the time you took to write the note, you could have taken to go to another place and actually drop the child. So
the time and the gas that you took to drop the child off, you could have detoured
right.
it on somewhere else.
Right. Absolutely. So we're going to give God thanks that little Tashawn was fine when he was found, you know, despite, you know, all that happened. And let's just continue to keep these, you know, mothers in prayer, you know, who's given, you know, birth to these children, that, you know, more children aren't found like this, because we don't know what kind of surge is about to take place. Woo! All right. So, my panel, my listening audience, I want to talk about Megan Good and her husband, Devon Franklin.
You didn't ask him about the veteran, but it's okay.
No. About the veteran. Come on, Pastor KL. Please forgive me. What's going on with the veteran? What do you feel, you know? Again, you know, we all have seen, you know, these veterans on the street, in a box. You know, we know that mentally, you know, they are no longer the same. And this is a prime example of what could happen to many of them. And we need to be grateful that a whole lot of them are not behaving in this manner. What do you feel the actual punishment should be, or the treatment should be?
Well, I'm in total agreement that you know, our veterans have definitely been mistreated for all that they've done for us. You know, so
mm-hmm.
but I am a little on the fence, and I guess Pastor Ed will be mad at me. I have a person outside my door who is disturbed. If he's on his medicine, he's great. If he's not on his medicine, he's picking up customers, slamming them on the floor. You know, they take him in, and, you know, he stays for 4 months, and then he comes back out. If he's on his medicine, he's great. You know, I just feel that, yeah, though there's programs for a lot of folks, you know, you can't make these folks take their medicine. And if they refuse to take their medicine, then we have to do something to get them off the street. So whether it be into a mental institution or, you know, if you try to kill me, you know what I mean? I mean, there's jail set up for you. You know, if you're making the decision to deliberately not take your medicine, you know, and if you're not capable of making that decision, we need to put you in an institution where you can stay there so that we can administer this medicine to you. But I think we are taking big chances, you know, and excuse me for saying this, we are taking big chances in hoping that you take your medicine. So I'm at risk because you don't need this, or I can stop at any time, or I can quit at any time. I think that's a dangerous place. You know, was it right what he did? No, I understand he had a problem, but he hurt somebody. So do we ignore the fact that people, innocent people, are being hurt because other folks won't step up and do their job? No, that's not my fault.
Okay. All righty. Well, Pastor Ed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond for maybe
some
people who also feel, you know, or think the same way Pastor KL, you know, is thinking and feeling.
All right. So to a degree, I actually agree with him. But again, when you're looking at the overall problem, there is a system of accountability where this individual is concerned, and you're correct. If all systems are in place and the individual still refuses to adhere to or abide by the treatment plan, even with the treatment court, if the end of, there's three phases to it, and I won't go into long, but there's three phases to it. If the individual does not adhere to those phases, and mind you, they're given more than one chance, but if they do not adhere to it, then there are consequences that are there. So when you've exhausted all means, they may find themselves institutionalized in the penal system. They may find themselves admitted indefinitely to an institution for those that need mental assistance. My point in, especially in this particular case, is, and any case like this, is you have to make sure that the steps or the processes have been followed to provide help. Now, granted, I don't know all the details of this case, but listening to it, it doesn't sound like those steps were followed, because in many cases, individuals, don't, you know, they say if you see something, say something. Many cases, there are people in the community, in the home, in the family that know that this individual has issues, and they say nothing and they do nothing. And in that instance, is problematic, because now you're complicit in this person's behavior continuing to the point that it may harm themselves or someone else. If everyone to whatever degree has played their role and the system has tried, Pastor Steph mentioned, and I know I'm going off some, she mentioned the veterans out on the street in cardboard boxes. I can tell you, based upon being on the inside and the importance of homeless veterans, many of those folks that are still there are there because they chose not to adhere to the system. They chose, many of them are even receiving money, but they chose not to be in the process. So my thing is, you have to make the effort, and in some cases the extra effort, to make sure that individual gets help, to make sure they get the proper treatment and care. If after all that's been exhausted, they make a and the key, and I know I'm going into a gray area, it comes down to, are they capable of even making a conscientious decision to do the right thing? Mm-hmm. That being found, then institutionalization may be required, but we still have an obligation to do what we can, because when you go to the root cause of why that individual behaves that way, we have to make sure of what responsibility we bear as a military, as a government, as a nation, because of the service or sacrifice they may or may not have given to the cause of this country.
Okay, and that was kind of that particular point you made about them being capable. You know, is everybody even capable based on their own individual condition of even taking, you know, making these sound decisions even for themselves, and that's the saddest part about it all, because, again, it becomes a case-by-case thing, you know, a treatment plan or, you know, like you said, Pastor Kale, you know, do we treat this with this type of punishment because we've assessed this individual and they've, you know, this is where they are. It's definitely a tough call to make, and definitely not a, you know, a cookie cutter answer. So it's really something to think about. And again, you know, our prayers need to be, you know, for our service men and women who, you know, have dedicated their lives and come back different than when they went, you know, into the military. All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, ladies, for, you know, talking about our news and stuff like that. All right. So I got a conversation that I would love to have with you three regarding actress Megan Good and her producer, minister, clergy husband, Devon Franklin. Now, after 9 years of marriage, they made the decision to divorce. They filed for a divorce. And I wanted to read the statement that they put out there. It says, after much prayer and consideration, we have decided to go into our futures separately, but forever connected. We celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal. There's no one at fault. We believe this is the next best chapter in the evolution of our love. We are incredibly grateful for the life-changing years we've spent together as husband and wife. We are also extremely thankful to God for the testimony being created inside us both and for blessing our lives with each other. Now, we don't know the details, you know, of their, you know, of their marriage. We don't know, you know, any of the intricacies. However, how does this look to the world? For a clergy and his wife to divorce and saying the things that they have said. Do you feel it's sending mixed messages? Do you feel it? What do you think? What do you think? I'm going to start with you, Pastor Ed.
Okay. Oh, Lord. This is so loaded. Until you try to figure out how to unpack it. Okay, let me just go to your to the question I remember. How does it look? But because okay, let's take it at the base level of a non-believer looking in without knowing all the details. I'm just saying, let's take it from the. I hate to say, let me be the devil's advocate. That's not the term I want to use. But take it from
Please
the
don't.
Point of view of a non-believer looking. They see a Christian minister and his wife getting a divorce. So already you've got some problematic testimony there. And then the statements they're making. Listen, when you take on the role of double role, not only are you a confessed spiritual leader, but you're also at what we call a celebrated status, both you and your wife. So even though people say I'm not a role model, I'm not a mentor, when you enjoy the benefits of that status, you also have to take on the responsibilities. So it was a very public marriage. It is now a very public separation, and you've got for the especially for Pastor Devon or Reverend Devon or whatever his title is, you have some responsibility to those that are looking up to you and following you. So yes, it's problematic, but it also goes back to, you know, before you ever marry, and I know this is after the fact, you have to make sure that God has ordained it. And when I say this, I'm not trying to be spiritually deep either. I'm saying that's why I refuse to marry anyone that does not go through some form of premarital mentoring, counseling, whatever the legal term is that we can use now with the state getting involved. But the process of understanding what marriage is and the role of a husband and a wife in a marriage. So I don't know. It's problematic because this man is constantly giving advice and mentoring folks. Let me stop there because I'm going to get myself in trouble because I look at Megan Good and her occupation and some of the hazards of her occupation. You got to be careful when you want to sing around with Hollywood and all. I don't know if I'm wrong in some of the deviant behavior or alternative behavior that exists prevalently in that world circle. You just have to be careful. I'll stop there because I'm digging myself deep into a hole with my own personal opinion.
Well, I mean, it's about our personal opinion, but I get you.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
Mine
is jumping
in trouble.
There's
some questions. Well, I got some questions coming after this initial question. Pastor Sharon, what's your thought based on you know, the fact that, you know, the two of them are, you know, public figures, if you will, and, you know, they have a public marriage, and making statements such as the ones that were made here in this statement.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Okay.
I don't. But as being public figure, as was just stated, was the thought of you're not seeing of the people who are following as a preacher. That was one of the, when you was talking, that was my first thing that I thought about. As us people are watching, even though we say don't watch us, you know, keep your eye on God, but people do. They follow, they watch how you interact, they watch, you know. So for now that y'all came up with that we're going to be friends, because that's pretty much what you were saying as well, right, that they're still going to be, they're still connected, even though that they are getting a divorce. That, to me, that was like, kind of confusion, because now you're saying one thing that we're going to still operate this way, but we're not going to be together as a person that's just sitting in the, you know, as a congregant sitting on the end and watching, you know, that would be confusing to me of what are you teaching us? And now of being people want to know a little more of, you know, of why you're getting a divorce. So when you're talking and you're saying one thing, but your actions are showing something totally different, that was where the confusion came in of not understanding. And you're right. How can I come and say I'm about to get married or just want some advice, period? What is that showing, you know, of how you're going to handle about my situation with me, you know? So that was what I was just thinking of, the confusion that of the unbalanced of one thing and then something totally different. But I don't know who the people are.
You do. You actually do. I'm sure if you watch any movies or whatever, when you see her, you're going to know her. You may not know him, but you're going to definitely know her. So later on, just go pull up the. I'll send you a link for you to press. But you're gonna know. You're gonna know. Pastor KL, you know, based on, you know, the fact that you're talking about a preacher, minister, pastor, you know, being in this marriage, and you know, you now have this open statement, you know, what do you say this, what do you think this statement says ultimately?
Well, I feel like Pastor Charlotte, I have no idea who they are, you know, unless she was in the Passion of Christ. I didn't see her.
You know what?
But I think
oh my goodness.
But I think, you know, like has been said, it's now confusing, because I've been following you, I've been listening to you, I've been listening to your counseling, because, you know, that's what it is. Even when you know, we minister and we preach, it's counseling. I've been listening to you, I've been watching your life, you know, and to a lot of folks, you know, I say this all the time, but to a lot of folks, you know, you're the closest thing to God that they were recognized in the front, in you know, when they first started out. You know, so here I am looking up to you, you know, looking at your relationship and saying, hey, this is what I need, this is what I want, and now your relationship ain't worth nothing. But now you're saying, you know, we're disconnecting, but we're still connected. I mean, that if that's not confusion, you know, I mean, we're not together, but we gonna still be together. You know, so now it tells me, as the sinner man, trying to come over to Christ, that hey, I can be connected and disconnected at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
what kind of energy and what kind of homework and what kind of worth do I put in any kind of relationship that I'm in now? See, it before, when I was looking at your life, I wanted to do this just like you, but now since I'm trying to do it just like you, hey baby, we can be together, not together.
You know, that's called a booty hole. You know, that's just plain and simple. That's what it is. You know, hey, we can't live together, but we can sleep together. You know, so when we finish, it's time for you to go home, because at that point we're disconnected. But if I get a scratch, if I get an itch, I need you to come scratch it. Then we'll be connected again. That's crazy.
This is as Pastor Ed and all of you have said, you know, this is a loaded statement. You know, you have to be very, you know, I look at it and say they were trying to be, you know, very careful with what they said. But I'm looking here when it says, we celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal. Pastor Charlene, what is wrong with this statement after we're saying this is a statement we're giving? Because I think this going into part two next week, because I'm already mad when I start breaking this thing down. So we're getting a divorce. We're telling you we're getting a divorce, but we celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal. What kind of mixed message is this to people when we're supposed to be marrying? I don't want to help me out here.
And that is what I'm saying of the confusion, because you're saying one thing and then you're what is the purpose of saying that if y'all getting a divorce? I'm trying to understand. You know, because you say, you know, we soulmates. They still say that, right?
Right.
We soulmates.
Yes, which is garbage.
You know, and I you the best thing smoking, and you know, better than McDonald's, and you know, all of that. But then you saying that why do you need to say y'all getting a divorce? It's the confusion, and that's the piece that I'm still stuck on. Why are we saying one thing and we're living something else? And I do know who she is. Thank you. Shout out.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
Yes.
No, maybe, you know, we just come from a household. We know names, girl. We look at the credits till the last thing goes up, because we want to know who we're looking at. So I'm really familiar, but a lot of people just don't know the name. That's why when you say you know her, I was like, if you look at movies, oh, yeah, you do. Because she's very, you know, she's out there. She's in a lot of movies. She's beautiful. So she fits the bill of a lot of different roles and stuff like that. But Pastor KL, help us break down this. Let me read it again. We celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal, but we need to divorce.
Well, just by your statement, from that statement, she definitely out there. They're crazy. They're definitely crazy. First of all, after 10 years, you know what I mean. That's a lot of time to be together that you're just gonna throw away. Now, my love for you is eternal. The Bible says, "Love thy neighbor."
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's crazy. You know, you given it's too many smoke signals. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like you got that big thing coming across the TV. If this was an emergency, you know what I mean? This is an emergency. Because right now, my life, because I'm following you, is on the line. So the world has already confused me. I'm trying to change my life because the world is beating me up, and I'm following you. And now you're just like the world. You're confused. This is another movie. Now you just got me trapped in the movie. Now, I'm trying to see what the sequel is going to be to this, because I'm trapped. I got to go back home and watch the next show.
Wow. Pastor Ed, while Pastor Charlene is confused, and while Pastor KL is still watching the movie and the sequel, what you over there thinking about this statement?
I'm over here trying to cool off
because, again, there's an inherent responsibility that you're and an accountability that you're completely in their election of your assignment or even your call of duty. First of all, let me go a little step further. Since it is my personal opinion, you're the one who set yourself up as an advisor, self-proclaimed advisor to celebrities and different individuals. You're the one who took a public platform on social media and television, and you know you're going on shows and you're telling people how to live their lives. And according to you, according to the way of Christ. Now, the first thing any Christian minister needs to know and understand is what love is. And I'm sorry, be real. We've all seen Megan Good. Well, you say you don't know her, but I'm just saying.
You know her. Excuse me, hold on. Shanti, send Pastor KL a text. Send him a link. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Ed. I'm sorry.
Sometimes love is mistaken for lust, but the problem is lust is only going to last so long. After a while, it gets tired and played, and then you have to live with the person. You have to put you say our love is eternal. Okay, describe what you call in love, and secondly, you done already put in 9 to 10 years. Put in the work to make it. Listen, we know marriage is not easy. It requires work. Just because of the environment that we live in. So they made the vows. They made the commitment. And he made it as a man of God. He's going around telling everybody else how to live their life. Listen, you can't tell me how to live my life if your house is all jacked up completely on a public basis. There's so much wrong. There are going to be so many people confused, or there are probably, to use Pastor Charlotte's word, confused. Bunch of mixed messages. That some publicist probably helped them prepare these statements. He's a motivational speaker brand, and they're trying to protect their brand, and they're doing damage control.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really going on behind the scenes. My thing is, if you don't have it together, you need to keep it behind the scenes, period. You need to take a break. You need to take a hiatus, a sabbatical. She's just a Hollywood actress, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, but I'm just saying. But he needs to take a sabbatical and figure out what it is the message that God has given him to give to people since he proclaimed to be a called minister of the Lord's church. Come on now. I'm tired of these celebrity folks.
We're going to put a pause right there, Pastor Ed. I'm going to ask you to press your way next week, God's spirit, because I want to break this thing down because, you know, I agree. That, you know, this was a carefully, quote-unquote, worded statement. And, you know, unfortunately, you did more damage in what you said than just by saying we're divorcing. Or just let us find out later that you divorced. Right. Just say, you know, and again, that's why y'all should be putting everything out here. Because now you owe everybody an explanation later, according to you. But you would have done better just letting everybody hear that you're divorced and not putting this out here. So I really want to break this down so that we can help shed some light for the people who are, you know, of God and the world who's listening to hear exactly the way this really, you know, does break down and what we really need to think about, you know, the things that are said and hope to clarify anything. All right. Thank you so much, my panel of clergy. And thank you so much for your contribution today in our conversation. And I pray you have a blessed one.
you too.
Likewise.
You
likewise.
All do the same.
I saw the pictures
thank
and I still
you.
Don't know who she is.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We'll send you a link to watch the movie within a week. All righty. Thank you so much. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. All righty. You know, so much to be said from the statement that was made, and I definitely want to take the opportunity to break it down because we have to help to bring some clarity to all of this. Let's take this time to go before the Lord and hold hands and hold hearts together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, giving you thanks that you have awakened us to see the beautiful sun, the beautiful day that you have prepared for us. Thank you so much for giving us a jump start into having a marvelous day. Thank you for giving us a jump start into what we should be thinking about today. You know, conceptually, if we don't have, you know, if we have not abandoned a child, you know, in the cold, if we have not administered a vaccine to someone's child, if we have not attacked, you know, someone in an ill state of mind, if we have not divorced and confused people, what are we doing as individuals that we can put our finger on based on what we heard this morning? And that's what I love about you, God. That even if you don't put your finger directly on our situation from morning to morning, from day to day, you always give us something to think about. You always send us to that mirror. You always send us to our knees, just asking for clarification, just getting us to the point of assessing our lives and coming to you and asking you to help to reveal whatever it is that we need to clear up in our lives, God. Thank you so much for the ministry that has taken place today, God, and the ministry that takes place each and every morning here on His Due Time, God. And I pray, God, that you bless each and every voice that speaks, God. I thank you for clearing the way, clearing out the schedules, to enable us to come on each and every morning, God, you know, just carving and paving the way in our own lives to give us a level of knowledge and wisdom, dear Heavenly Father, to be able to minister. And we thank you, God, for choosing us. We thank you, God, for choosing us to be the spokesperson for who you want us to be and what you want us to say as a representation of who you are. And even as a listener, God, we're going to thank you, God. We're going to thank you because we didn't have to hear any of this, that we would be challenged each and every day, each and every morning to check ourselves, to just take an opportunity to review. What did I say? What did I do? How did I think right before I heard this statement or this level of counsel or advice? God, we just got finished praying against toxic behavior, toxic people, places, things, and decision-making. And God, we lift that up before you yet again, God, because in every single story we had today, God, there was some toxic behavior, some toxic thinking, and some toxic decision-making that was displayed. And God, we pray that by someone else's error, that we would learn, that we would not have to step in those same holes, make those same mistakes in order to do something that's pleasing in your sight at the end of the day. You know, the word says that, you know, in the street says, oh, I had to go through this thing. And God, there's just no truth to that. And I thank you, God, for revealing that to Stephanie, God, so that I can get on this platform and I can help along with my partners in Christ to help to deliver a word each day of clarification from studying, from reading your word, from hearing from you, dear Heavenly Father, and that we can sound the alarm, God, that Jesus saves, regardless of what condition we're in, dear Heavenly Father, that there is nothing that's too small, nothing too great that you can do, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to turn every thought around that is unlike you, God, that has nothing to do with your kingdom, God. We ask that you turn every word around, God, that does not speak for what you stand for, God. We ask you, God, to shift every decision-making so that we can be in compliance with your will and your way, God. Lord, we're asking that our voices that are heard each and every day, God, 24 hours a day, you have put this out there, that it can change lives, God, that we can be used in a massive way to rearrange the way things go in people's lives, that they would hear something, God, that would make them stand to attention and say, wait a minute, that's not what I need to be doing. That if somebody challenges what you're doing, that you would say, hey, I need to go back to the Lord on this one. And we thank you, God, for every answered prayer. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for every time we come to you, God, you didn't turn your back or you didn't turn a deaf ear to our cries. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for every time we asked for healing, that you forgave a sin, dear Heavenly Father, because that's the kind of God you are. You don't just do one thing, God. You do a multiple work in our life, God. You're just not a one-note Charlie, God, but you watch from the crown of our head, God, to the sole of our feet, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for being the God you are. We thank you for allowing us to come to you as dirty, filthy rags, God, knowing that some of the times, whatever we say, we not serious about that thing. It's just sad because that's the way we feel for right now, because we're fearful of any potential danger that might be coming our way, God. But Lord, we ask that you just endow us with another ounce of integrity, God, where we would be honest and truthful, and that we would be as faithful to you as you are to us. Thank you, God, for hearing our cry and our petition today, God. We pray for each and every one of the individuals who we spoke about today, dear Heavenly Father, that they would know you, that they would come to know you in whichever way you decide, God, because you are available to each and every one of us on this earth, God. Your word says that before you shut it down, that everybody would have an opportunity to make the decision to say yes to your will and yes to your way. And we thank you for how many of us you have continually forgiven over and over and over again. And we salute you this morning as being the amazing, awesome wonder you are. We thank you, God, for everything you've ever done, everything you've ever spoken into our lives, God. And we give you the glory and honor. So rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I am so tired. I am so tired of hearing people say to me, especially people of God, well, you know, I had to go through that in order to get there. No, you do not. Because I'm looking at a verse that says, there is no temptation that is common to man, but that God would not give a way out. Now, please do not mix that up with God allows us to go through things because it will be beneficial to us that the word of God says rejoice during trials and tribulations, because it builds endurance, it builds patience, it builds this, it builds that, it brings you closer, or it should bring you closer to the Lord. All of this stuff that people are talking about, oh, well, you know, I had to go through this in order to get here. No, you don't. This self-inflicted garbage you got going on in your life, this toxic decision-making that you got going on in your life, it does not necessarily have the stamp of God on it. We put ourselves through so much. And in order to pacify and to appease the things that we do and to make us feel better, we go with, well, I had to go through this. And all. No, you don't. Some of the things that we go through is a part of our journey. I do not take away anything from that. But the stuff that I'm hearing, I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't have to go that route. You could have done this. The same way that option was available to you is the same way that option was available to you. God gave you options, and you decided to play let's make a deal, and you went through door two, and you left door one and door three, and you got a big booby trap. Stop putting that on God, because ultimately, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. But God, I always say, God is so strategic that he sits back and he can just cross his legs, fold his arms, and just watch us. Because at the end of the day, he will get the glory. He has to step back sometimes just to allow us to go through things. Does that mean, is that equivalent to, I have to go through this? No. I am so tired of hearing that. Because in this mode of thinking, when will you stop making toxic decisions? Because whatever you will believe, that you know what, if I step into that hole, all thing, you know, everything happens for a reason. Oh my goodness gracious, you know. It's hard to just see stuff and just be calm, you know, and just watch. And because I look at this world and look at all the stories we just got finished talking about. We didn't have to do any of this stuff. We just got finished talking about a young lady who could have taken her child to any place and not risk the child dying in 12 below weather. Well, that's the same way. We have tons of options. Ooh, and if God allowed you to go through this thing, you may have had to end up here by a byproduct of making a decision prior to that. But does it mean you had to go through that in order, such a thing, in order for you to learn? No, it doesn't. Because if we make a decision that's better today, it will make for a better outcome tomorrow, and we will not have to make certain decisions on Thursday if we had made a better decision or a different decision on Monday. And that's what I want you to think about today. Those toxic people, places, things, behavior, and decision making. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, who always comes through big time for us. I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us today, and we pray that you will not only be hearers, but you will be doers of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God spare our lives. I love you.